Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church on the fifth Sunday of Lent, I believe. So we are been on this journey for a while. We've been going through this series of the message of Jesus that is inspired by Adam Hamilton's book of the same name. And it's been, as far as I can tell, it's been something that has been good for taking us along each week and to hearing a little bit more and more about Jesus' message, and we will continue that today. Let's turn to our announcements this morning. I'm only going to highlight a few since we have a lot going on in our service today. Tomorrow is important. It's the Xenia Jazz Ensemble is going to be here with Mary and Martha and the Men of Faith. We are combining to bring this and have just a great celebration with the high school's ensemble. So I invite you out. There's a ham loaf dinner that goes with it. It should be a great time, so put that on your calendar and come on out to be a part of that. Also, just a reminder, bring your coins next week. It's our Coins for Missions and Easter flowers. We need to get those order forms in. Next week will be the final week, but we want you to make sure that we have those to beautify our sanctuary for Easter Sunday. At this time, I'd like to invite Suzanne up just for a moment.
I want to start by confessing that I am not a very good person to write thank you notes. So I wanted to make sure that I just publicly thanked this congregation for all the love and support and care. The cards, the food, the visits to the hospital and to hospice, the hugs, the encouragement, those who came to the visitation, those who came for the funeral, those who just were the congregation for being patient with us while we had to work through what are we going to do with the service because we're just not in the mindset to do what we need to do and that kind of stuff. So just, this is my thank you. I won't be writing them. This is just my thank you to all of you for all of the things that you provided to us during these last few weeks as we lost Mom. So thank you very much, and I guess I want to add one other thing to it, too, is I've said it to several people, but this church, in the 2 years that Mom, since we've been here and Mom moved in with us, you just greeted and welcomed and loved on my mom in a way that made her feel very much a part of this congregation, especially the small group, the Bible study that she was a part of, and coming to the knitting group, and Mary and Martha. All those things were so important to her. And so we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the love that this church has provided to us. Thank you.
I did owe that. Yeah. That's why I had her do it. No, that's it. But yeah, it has been good for us to see the love of the church in a personal way. So we thank you for that. Let us prepare for worship as we hear our prelude this morning.
Thank you. That was absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Ken and Carol. If you would stand as you are able for our call to worship. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every name.
And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend, and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord.
And if you'll remain standing for our opening hymn, Jesu, Jesu, number 432. You may be seated. And if you would join with me in our opening prayer that's printed in your bulletin. Holy One of God, come to this sanctuary and to our homes, and let us receive you with lavish welcome. You are the restorer of our fortunes, the promise of new life. we pour out our praise to you. Fill this space with your Spirit and fill our hearts with your compassion, not just in this time and place, but in all times and in all places, so that as we celebrate the great things you have done for us, we may also embody the love you give to all. Amen. And if the children would come down front, please.
Come on down.
I try to forget that, but he doesn't let me.
People online can't hear us. That's the trick.
Oh, well, good morning, all.
Yeah. Oh,
and I have an older child joining us this morning, too.
We're all children at heart.
Yes. Well, today, Pastor Jeff is going to talk about one of my favorite words, because I use a lot of them, and that's words. It is. Words. And he's going to talk about final words today. Have you ever been with a friend and had a little disagreement, and you kind of walked away from each other? Did you ever think what that person's feeling and what you're feeling? Because if you never see them again, those are going to be the last words they ever heard from you. And sometimes we get mad at our parents and we say something that's not very nice and we walk away in a huff. How does your parent feel if you're gone and that's all they remember was those harsh words you said? So we need to be extremely careful in the words that we use and the things that we say, because sometimes we may not see that person again. And we want to make sure that the last thing they heard from us was kind. So you need to choose your words, make sure they're kind. I know it's hard sometimes because you want to say something kind of hateful, but you don't want to do that because that may be the last thing they hear from you. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, make us realize that the words we say and the words we use can be loving or can be spiteful. And we really want to use the loving words. So we ask you to help us know what to say and when to say it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our prayer hymn is on the back of your bulletin, In Remembrance of Me.
Thank you.
Let us go into prayer, keeping in mind Lord Jesus, our Savior. Heavenly Father, you introduced us to your Son, Jesus. You brought him into this world and you sent him to share with us. He called for us to listen, to hear, and to understand the message that Jesus brought with him. So we just ask that you would truly open our minds and our hearts to the fullness of his message. Sometimes we get into our minds, you know, what it would be good for us. But we need to know the full story so that we can understand how we are able to walk with Jesus each and every day. It's not all about us, oh God. Help us to know that Jesus' message is for everyone. His call is for us to look beyond ourselves, knowing that we have life in him. So we just ask that you would continue to put that message into our hearts more deeply, so that we can truly experience our world around us in a way that shows that love that we have already come to know. Because, Lord, you are the one that opens us. It is by your grace that you have sought after us. It is by your grace that we are able to be justified. It is by your grace that we are able to become more and more like your Son. So we turn to you and allow your grace to overcome us, to draw us closer to you, closer to each other, to be truly a light in the world. Inspire us, O God, by your Spirit. May the words that Jesus spoke and speaks into our hearts today be ones that are transformational, that move us from where we are to where you would like us to be. It is truly by your Holy Spirit that we can walk with Jesus in a way that glorifies him. Lord, we just ask this to be a reality in our lives. Nurture us. Help us to grow and mature in the likeness of your Son. And as we are reminded of him, we also are reminded of his prayer that he taught us to pray. Share with me this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you please rise for the gospel reading along with an epistle reading. Please rise.
The first gospel reading is entitled Final Words at the Last Supper, John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And from Luke chapter 22, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The king of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for I received from God what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. And now, as we come to our time of giving back, let us continue to remember where we came from, who we are in Christ, and how we have been changed to know that it truly is more than just us. It is about how we share our lives with the world around us. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Join together in the prayer of dedication. Dearest Lord Jesus, you chose a path of suffering to reach out to us in our suffering. Use us and our gifts to extend your love and comfort to reach people in places of loss and grief. Use us and our gifts this day to bring hope and compassion to those who weep, that they may know your miraculous power and your fullness of life. Amen. And please remain standing for our second set of gospel readings.
The gospel reading is entitled Final Words from the Cross and from the book of Luke. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And from the book of Mark, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And from John, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. The death of Jesus. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
And thank you, Carol and Ken. We do appreciate you being here and sharing your gift with us today. Well, the past couple of weeks were a little different, but we continued the sermon series using Adam Hamilton's videos, covering first how Jesus spoke in parables to reveal that the character of the kingdom of God is simply the character of God. And second, as Jesus' identity is revealed to the world, we have to declare who Jesus is in our lives. The message of Jesus has been laid out before the world, and it is up to us to receive it, to discern and digest it, and ultimately live it. In these last few Sundays before Easter celebration, we're going to witness Jesus' journey to the cross and reflect on his teaching about resurrection and life eternal. We begin traveling with Jesus to Jerusalem this week as he is traveling for his last week. Now, thinking about Jesus' final week, the same week that our family laid Suzanne's mom, Lynn, to eternal rest, has been difficult, but also comforting. It is difficult because our emotions, our grief is still very raw. Yet it is comforting knowing that the message of Jesus didn't end in Jerusalem, even if his final words on this side of the resurrection were uttered there. See, just under 3 weeks ago, my family witnessed Mom's final words. Due to her condition, she couldn't put together full sentences even though she tried. Most of what she uttered came out garbled, except every now and then you could make out some words. If we asked questions that could be answered with one-word responses, often Mom could give an answer. But as each day went by, it was harder and harder for her to articulate her thoughts. We could see her processing that her future with us on earth was coming to a close and that her way forward was in the everlasting arms of Jesus. As her words became fewer, we relished what she might say. And the most cherished of those of Mom's final words came as our son saying goodbye to his Grammy via FaceTime. Suzanne held the phone so Mom could see. And Mom clearly said, "I love you. I love you. I love you." We know her words were not just for our son, but for the whole family. If you knew the end was near, what would you want to say? What would you want to share? Well, saying love you one last time is a great choice. I think it is safe to say that final words mean something. So when we consider Jesus' final words of his last week on earth, it would be wise for us to listen more closely so we don't miss his message for us. So with Hamilton's help, I want to reflect on what do Jesus' final words ask of his disciples? Now, the scripture passages we read today occurred at the latter end of Jesus' last week. But before we get there, let's return to the day he entered Jerusalem. Our Bibles title this story as the triumphal entry. It is this context which we celebrate Palm Sunday, which is next week. We see Jesus humbly riding on a donkey, connecting himself with the prophecies of old to the long-awaited Messiah who
would save God's people. The crowd caught up in their own visions of victory over the Romans and future prosperity praised Jesus as the King coming in the name of the Lord. In the midst of this frenzied celebration, Jesus entered Jerusalem with a different emotion, which was counter to the elation displayed. Luke described, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes." Jesus was saddened because the people were deaf and blind to the real message of Jesus, thinking his reign was sociopolitical in nature. However, the victory Jesus ushered in that day in Jerusalem was over the sin-skewed image of God represented in every person's broken relationship with God. Jesus' victory was a relational one. Hamilton noted, "He came to call all people to change their hearts and lives, to live according to God's will. With God as their King, the very things he'd been teaching since he began his ministry." Thinking about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, friends, today our community, like Jerusalem on that day of Jesus' entry, don't understand the message and reign of Jesus. Our communities may be worse off yet than those in Jerusalem because people today still think sociopolitical victory will bring them security. But they aren't looking for the one coming in the name of the Lord to help them. Perhaps Jesus' final words spoken upon his entry call for us to weep for our communities. The bulk of our society isn't looking for Jesus to give them peace, to give them life beyond what the world offers them. This reality should break our hearts. Does it? If not, what do we need to do to open our hearts to this reality? Is Jesus calling us out of our comfort zones to interact more directly with our community? As we continue to discern faith community's vision going forward, we want to create a safe space for our community to meet Jesus and to hear the message of Jesus. In February, when the board met, we clarified once again, what we mean by a safe space and adjusted our vision statement slightly as follows. First, we said a safe space is an inviting space where you feel welcome, accepted, heard, seen, and secure. That's the safe space. And then our vision for Faith Community United Methodist Church is to be a safe space for exploring faith and building community. You may remember, even on our bulletin today, it says, "Sharing faith, building community." We talked about that and how we wanted to make sure that people wanted to be able to explore their faith as they discover it and live it. So we altered that just a little bit, adding the safe space, exploring faith, building community. But together, we are the ones who create this kind of environment wherever we interact with our community, whether it is here in our building or somewhere beyond our walls. And then after Jesus entered Jerusalem and the palm parade subsided, he spent time at the temple where he confronted, if you remember, the sacrilegious marketplace that had overwhelmed the temple courts. And it was there that Jesus turned tables and released the animals being sold for sacrifice. And then once again, Jesus' heart was broken. As the people lost their way and mishandled and misunderstood the means for sustaining a relationship with the Lord, their God. then it is with these concerning things that are so prevalent on Jesus' mind and heart that when he gathered the disciples on the Passover meal, they were heavy on him. Then it was at that meal where he gave three commandments at various times during their evening together. These commandments were corrective in nature, redirecting Jesus' disciples to center their focus on Jesus' teaching of love, not status or position, not political dominance, not self-sufficiency, but dependence and submission. We receive these commandments in Jesus' final words at the Last Supper. Jesus, from the depth of his heart, spoke with authority, saying, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." During the meal, the disciples argued about who would be the greatest. And then Jesus stopped them, saying, "Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." And then even as he was breaking the bread and raising the cup, Jesus declared, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance every time you drink of it, of me." So the three commands Jesus gave us are simply love one another, serve one another, and remember me. We remember Jesus in a way that is not just a memory, but a constant reminder, a constant shaping vision that is the key for us to open our hearts to Him and to unlock our capacity to love like Him so we can love one another and serve one another. Hamilton writes, "We are to love our neighbor, to love our enemies, and to love one another. This is the defining mark of the Christian life. It is not a feeling, but a way of living and being. It is reflected in kindness, generosity, compassion, and forgiveness. It is meant to be the currency of the kingdom of God." Think about that. The currency of the kingdom of God. Is this not the life Jesus lived while he walked the earth? Jesus' final words at the table call for us to participate in Christ's life of ministry. You see, the Christian life is a life of purpose to follow Jesus in his work of ministry and mission. So with our vision of being a safe space for exploring faith and building community as our goal, we also established a mission statement in February to help guide the way we participate in Christ's life of ministry. Faith Community United Methodist Church's mission is to empower our community to meet, learn, worship, pray, and play together. Our next steps are to assure we are intentionally reaching out to our community, offering various ways for them to experience the love of Christ. Now, there's no place to go other than the cross to discover the depth of the love of Christ. From the cross, Jesus had, think about it, Jesus had to lift himself up, pulling on the nails in his wrist and pushing off with his nail-pierced feet to breathe in enough air to speak. Each breath was labored, so each word spoken was shared with purpose. With his words, Jesus redefined family, expressing that all in him are all of the one family, the family of God. He demonstrated the reach of forgiveness extends to everyone as he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Hamilton wondered, perhaps more powerful to me is the idea that in praying this prayer from the cross, Jesus was asking for forgiveness not only for those standing at the cross, but for all of humanity, including you and me. Jesus also extended hope to those who deem themselves unforgivable, as he promised the criminal next to him that he'd be with Jesus in paradise. Not someday, but that day. There's no delay between this life and eternity. With these words from the cross, Jesus shared the length, width, and height of his love. And then with his last breaths, Jesus expressed the depth of his love as he cried out, "I am thirsty. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Perhaps it was in these moments that the enormity of humanity's sin parched Jesus' spirit as the darkness blocked his view of his Father. And in that moment, he abandoned himself completely to him, uttering, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and declared, "It is finished." Hamilton urged, "Rightly understand, it is finished makes clear that Jesus saw his death as purposeful, redemptive, and accomplishing God's saving work in order to heal a broken world. His death was an indictment on human brokenness and sin, but also a portrait of divine love and grace." Jesus' final words from the cross call for us to appreciate and share the magnitude of Christ's love. Jesus' death on the cross wasn't just a transactional gesture to pay the cost for our sin. Jesus' death on the cross was personal with everyone that ever lived, lives now, and will live in the years to come. He did this to establish an everlasting relationship, secured in the deepest, sincerest love we will ever know. It is for this reason we can't just see Jesus as a ticket to heaven, but rather only as a life-giving relationship that defines every other relationship we will ever have. We don't know when our days will end or what our last words may be, but may God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, use us and transform us so that our lives, our ministries, our words, even our last ones, point to and give glory to Jesus. Friends, Jesus completed the work on the cross. We are forgiven. We are loved. Jesus revealed his love on the way to the cross, and his final words cried out speak volumes to those who listen carefully. And if we do, we will hear Jesus calling for us to weep with him over our community, participate in his life of ministry and mission, and through our submission to him and his kingdom, we deeply appreciate and then are compelled to share the magnitude of his love for all. So let's open our hearts to be changed by Jesus' love, impact our community on the way, and extend Christ's invitation and grace and love every day. Amen. So on this day, as we speak of the Last Supper, we participate in the Lord's Supper. It changed that day with Jesus. It was the Passover meal. It was a meal of remembrance, a remembrance of liberation, This is a meal of remembrance and of liberation. So as we approach the table, hear these words. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. See, Christ invites all to his table. All who are seeking to love him and to love one another. We come forward and we repent of our sin to seek peace. Because it is our sin that breaks peace. But we repent to seek peace with one another. Because we know the grace of God. And that we are all forgiven by what Christ did for us. You see, at that meal when he gathered around with his friends, remember the context of what I shared with you today. Of where Jesus was and how he was experiencing that sadness and that grief for all that were with him and around him. They didn't quite understand. To know the message that he was bringing to them. See, they had the history behind them. The one that we give thanks for now as we sit around this table, we give thanks. Because it is right to give thanks to our Lord. He formed us in his image. It is God who breathed life into us. Yet we turned away and our love failed. God's love remained steadfast. The people that he interacted with early on, the Hebrews who were in slavery, they remember at that Passover meal how they were delivered from captivity. God made a covenant with them and with us. Because this same message was spoken over and over again through the prophets. And then through Jesus to us. See, holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him, O God, to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, to set the liberty of those who are oppressed and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. And by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And then when the Lord ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your Word and of the Holy Spirit. And so he gave us this meal. And we're to use his words on the night that he gave himself up for us. He took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then after supper, he took the cup. So this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ shall come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory as we feast at his heavenly banquet. It is through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Friends, we'll be receiving our elements in the pews today. So we will pass out the bread first, and once everybody has it, we will take the bread together, and then we'll do the same with the cup. Ushers, and Elaine, will you help me? We do have gluten-free if you need it. Let the ushers know and we'll make sure you get it. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat.
This is the blood of Jesus, the new covenant in his blood. Take and drink. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we do thank you for this meal. A meal of remembrance in a way that brings Jesus to the present. Brings us alive in our lives even now. Lord, we are grateful that we are able to experience your grace in this special way. Amen.
Would you stand as you are able for our closing hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This, 292, and we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 3.
And now as we take in all the words that we have received today, hold on to them, knowing that you are loved, you are forgiven, and you are free. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.